Chapter 11. I awoke with a start, sat straight up with a gasp, and struggled to catch my breath. Then I whipped my head around to get my bearings, but my surroundings were completely blurry, and the effort made me feel dizzy. Was I dead? Did we fall from the pyreworm's back? Did we even make it back to Varlay in the first place? And where was Nia? I had so many questions that needed to be answered, but for right now, I needed to figure out where I was. So I felt around me, and the texture of what I laid on was quite soft and vaguely familiar.
Griff?
I heard a woman's voice call out, and suddenly the bright room started to come into focus, and I spotted a friendly face I hadn't seen in a long time.
Finally, you're awake!
Meriden noted with a relieved expression.
Thank the Maker. I was really beginning to worry about you.
Meriden? I asked groggily, and as I glanced down to see white sheets draped across me, I realized I was in the Academy's infirmary. Holy shit. We'd actually made it to Varlay after all.
The one and only.
The red-haired healer laughed lightly.
Welcome back to the land of the living. I was wondering if you were ever going to rejoin us.
Wait, how long have I been out? I wondered. I blinked rapidly as my eyes fully adjusted, and I twisted my back and stretched. I was pretty sore, and a dull ache radiated throughout my limbs. Sarah certainly hadn't been kidding about the mana exertion, and the toll it would take on my body.
About 4 days.
Meriden replied matter-of-factly as she walked over to a shelf and searched around the various bottles and potions. 4? I repeated. That would definitely explain my disorientation. I ran my hand through my hair and glanced around the infirmary, but it seemed to be empty. Wait, where's Nia? And how did we get here?
Look to your left,
Meriden said as she glanced over her shoulder at me. I did as Meriden instructed, and, sure enough, Nia Kinefic was in the bed right beside me with her arms at her side as she slept. Thank the Maker, I said gratefully, and I fought back tears as I watched her chest rise and fall with her breathing. The beautiful elementalist was still pale, but the shade of her skin was far closer to her normal tone than it had been when she'd collapsed. Her long, ashen hair had been swept away from her face, too, and her eyelids quivered as she dreamt.
She's in rough shape, but Miss Kinefic will be fine,
Meriden assured me as she returned with a deep blue glass bottle.
I promise. We've been giving her plenty of fluids and potions to restore her mana, and she seems to be responding well to them. Speaking of, I need you to take this for me.
The healer held out the bottle to me, and I eyed it warily. Do I even want to know what this is? I asked.
Most likely not,
Meriden admitted.
But it will make you feel better. So drink up.
I opened the bottle and made the mistake of sniffing the contents, and my face crinkled up in disgust.
Maker, Meriden, this smells like dragon dung,
I complained. Why couldn't potions be delicious? It would certainly make it easier to take them.
Inhaling was your first mistake, the healer said with a shake of her head. Just drink it down, Griff. It isn't nearly as awful as it smells.
So I gathered my courage and chugged the contents of the bottle, and thankfully, Meriden was correct. It tasted much like watered-down ale, and while it wasn't the most pleasant taste, I'd expected much worse. Once the potion had settled in my stomach, I shoved the thin white sheets aside and went to stand up. But Meriden tutted at me, so I sank back down into bed.
Settle down. You still don't have your full strength back,
the healer chastised me.
However, now that you're awake, there are some people waiting to speak with you. I'm sure they all wish to know what exactly happened to you both. But if the visit becomes too overwhelming, I can send them away.
Thank you, Meriden. I really appreciate that. I sighed. Have I ever mentioned you're the best?
Yes, I've heard that before. Meriden replied with a roll of her eyes.
How one young man manages to get himself into so much trouble is beyond me.
You are truly a handful, Griff of Njordan Falls. But if I weren't in trouble, I wouldn't get to come visit. I grinned, and Meriden shook her head, but her smile remained.
I'll go grab the others, she said. Try to stay out of trouble for at least a minute.
Then she did exactly that, and left Nia and I alone in the infirmary. I watched Nia's lips part, and relief washed over me with every breath she took. I'd never been so afraid before, but my wife was a warrior, and of course she overcame any obstacles thrown at her. I reached over to touch her, but suddenly the infirmary door opened, and I leaned back in my bed to avoid Meriden's wrath. Footsteps echoed through the room, and then two more familiar faces appeared before me. One belonged to my father-in-law, and the other belonged to Headmaster Sleet.
Headmaster, Grand Mage Kennefic.
I greeted the distinguished pair with a nod of my head and a smile. It's great to see you both.
Hello, Mr. Griff,
Sleet replied, and he looked me over with a bemused smirk.
Never a dull moment with you, is there?
Definitely not, I laughed.
Hi, Griff.
Galahar acknowledged me with a thin-lipped smile before he went straight over to his daughter's bed. He observed Nia for a moment, and then turned to Meriden.
Any signs of her waking up?
It should be any day now, Meriden assured the Grand Mage, and Nia's father let out a sigh.
Thank the Maker, he said,
and his blue eyes grew brighter. Galahar's face looked gaunt, as if he hadn't slept in days, and the whites of his eyes were reddened from either tears or lack of rest. The Grand Mage turned to me and then rejoined Sleet's side.
How you two managed to find monsters all the way out in Adorna, I'll never understand,
Galahar sighed.
I sent you there believing it to be peaceful.
It was, I admitted, at least until the monsters showed up to terrorize the village. Trust me, sir, we didn't appreciate an attack either.
Despite my claims, you two were there, Galahar said. I can't say that I'm thrilled you were both hurt in the process, but you saved the people of Adorna, and for that, I wish to thank you.
Thank you, sir. I nodded at my father-in-law respectfully. I appreciate your kind words.
Don't worry about being formal with me, son, Galahar smirked. I admire your respectful tone, but I'm your father-in-law. Relax your shoulders.
I did just that, and forced myself to relax in front of Galahar and the headmaster. It was no easy task, but the Grand Mage had requested it, and I was in no position to argue with my wife's father.
And now that we've begun this discussion, Mr. Griff, would you be so kind as to fill in the details for us?
Sleet asked as he arched an eyebrow at me.
We have gathered bits and pieces of this tale, but there are so many things we wish to know.
I'd be more than happy to, but first, could you tell me how we got here? I asked.
It's quite the amusing story, Sleet smirked. Your old roommate had returned to his dorm room after lunch when suddenly you appeared out of nowhere and landed right on top of him with Miss Kennefic in your arms.
Oh, Maker, I blurted out, and heat rose to my cheeks as I envisioned the whole scene. That was definitely not part of the plan. Poor Brayden had to have been completely freaked out.
Luckily, once the shock wore off, your friend was able to enlist the help of Mr. Maddox and Mr. Prost, and they were able to bring you all here to the infirmary,
Sleet concluded, and his eyes twinkled with amusement.
And you've been asleep ever since. How exactly did you get here, Griff?
Galahar asked as his dark eyebrows knitted together in confusion.
Brayden told us you just dropped out of thin air, but that couldn't possibly be the case.
It sort of was, I suppose, I contradicted him, and Galahar looked at Sleet with a curious expression.
What do you mean by that, Mr. Griff?
Sleet urged with a raised eyebrow, and the Storm Mage tilted his head to the side in curiosity. I took a breath,
Well, Headmaster, it's going to sound strange.
Try me, my boy, the Storm Mage laughed. I can assure you that not many things surprise me anymore, especially when it comes to you and your unique powers.
Well, we sort of came through a portal, I began slowly.
You entered through the Shadowscape, Galahar frowned. Not enough time passed for that to be possible.
No, not through the Shadowscape, I clarified. It was a different type of portal Sarah helped me open, one that led directly to Varlay.
Goodness! Sleet laughed. That certainly is unheard of.
We were supposed to land in our home, I continued, and I snuck a glance over at Nia. Sarah instructed me to focus on the place I knew the best, somewhere I found safe. But I lost focus at the last moment, and somehow we ended up in Brayden's dorm room instead.
That's an incredible new ability for you, Mr. Griff,
Sleet mused as he stroked his chin.
Surely that could come in handy in the future, though it seems to have taken quite a toll on your mana. And speaking of mana, Galahar spoke up, I'm curious to hear the rest of your tale. The villagers would be able to recount the events in Adorna fairly easily, but their time in the cabin limited their knowledge of what happened in the woods. And more importantly, what happened to my daughter. Two of the villagers mentioned that Nia combined her elemental attacks and depleted her mana. What exactly happened there?
It's a long story, I warned, and I glanced over at Nia, who was still asleep beside me. I wished she were awake to help me sort through the details, but I would have to make it through alone.
We certainly have the time, Galahar said,
and the Grand Mage took a seat on an empty bed across from mine. Sleet joined him, and the renowned mages waited patiently for me to continue. But before I could proceed, there was a loud knock at the door. We all exchanged glances at each other.
Now who could that be?
Meriden frowned, and she headed toward the entrance. But before she could reach the door, Layla stormed into the room.
Griff! Nia!
The tiny summoner exclaimed, and before I could say a word, she flung herself up onto the bed. I grunted as the petite summoner squeezed me tightly.
Bethel, I can't breathe. Good,
Layla huffed as she squeezed me tighter.
Serves you right for leaving us and getting hurt. How did you manage to get into a battle during your honeymoon, for goodness sake? Ugh, it's so like something you would do. Finding danger wherever you can.
I was just telling that story, I began. But then more footsteps approached, and Syra, Aaron, and Freya entered the room.
Griff, you're awake!
Aaron proclaimed loudly, and the orange-haired mimic grinned from ear to ear.
It's about time,
Syra added as she shook her head, and her nest of curly hair sprang about with the motion.
You're in big trouble, husband,
Freya griped, and her gold-flecked brown eyes narrowed as she looked between Nia and me.
Hello, ladies,
Headmaster Sleet greeted my wife and lovers, and the women all blushed when they realized we weren't alone.
Sorry, Headmaster,
Aaron apologized.
I didn't even see you there. We can leave if you're in the middle of something.
No apologies necessary, Miss Lindblom,
Sleet assured her.
You all have been quite patient when it comes to your friend's recovery. You are more than welcome to stay. Mr. Griff was preparing to tell us about his and Miss Kinnifick's experience in Adorna.
I'd definitely like to know what happened,
Syra decided, and she joined Layla and me on the bed.
I would like to know as well,
Freya added, and she perched right next to the dark-skinned summoner.
My sister-wife is recovering, but I wish to know how she was hurt. I am worried for her. It goes without saying I want to hear as well.
Aaron agreed as she went ahead and sat down on the edge of Nia's bed and eyed the sleeping elementalist.
Proceed, Griff,
Galahar urged, and he leaned forward in anticipation. So I launched into the story of our honeymoon. I spoke of the Vincrimsel attack in Adorna, the return to the cabin with the villagers, and then the secondary monster in the woods.
That monster is known as a Sycorot,
Sleet interjected after I described the bug-like monster.
It's a very ancient being that hasn't been seen in a great many years. I wonder why it has suddenly resurfaced, and why it chose Adorna as its manifestation point.
I don't understand it either, I sighed, and Layla started to rub my back. All I know is both of the monsters were far larger than what we're used to here, and even harder to kill.
And far more destructive, too, I'd say,
Galahar added as he pursed his lips.
Adorna's damage is catastrophic. If you hadn't arrived, it would have been an even bigger bloodbath than Hartmire.
Those monsters were really different from any I've encountered, I noted. I don't know how to explain it, but something about them feels wrong. I considered capturing them in essence crystals, but something about them felt too wild and destructive. I didn't trust that I could handle them.
That's probably wise, Sleet agreed with a nod. We don't have enough knowledge about them to know what they're capable of. How did you manage to destroy the creature?
Galahar wondered, and his blue eyes wandered over to Nia.
Did you summon the Arkans?
Aaron asked as she tucked a strand of vibrant orange hair behind her ear. I didn't even need to, I replied. Nia defeated the Sycorot entirely on her own.
She did what?
Syra gasped, and her dark eyes widened in surprise. I took a deep breath and explained the strange phenomenon that was Nia's explosive attack. Sleet and Galahar's eyes grew huge as I recounted the battle, and once I'd concluded, everyone stared at me in awe.
Maika! Layla whistled. That's fucking insane! Sister Vife is incredible,
Freya praised, and the Hawk Princess's lips smiled appreciatively as she glanced at Nia.
I've never heard of power like that,
Sleet admitted as his eyebrows knitted together.
Miss Kennefic continues to impress me. I knew my daughter was special, but I had no idea she had the potential to wield such magic,
Galahar said, and he stared at Nia proudly.
I didn't even realize that kind of elemental attack was possible.
It was extraordinary, I agreed, and my heart swelled with pride. I'd always known my wife was a talented elementalist, but to impress two of the most powerful mages in all of Mistral was no minor feat.
I would be curious to know how Miss Kennefic conceived of such an attack,
Sleet mused.
I wish I could tell you.
A raspy voice suddenly croaked.
But it all happened so quickly, I can't explain it.
All of us whipped around to see Nia had opened her eyes, and the elementalist offered a shy smile as we absorbed what she'd just said.
Nia,
I breathed as my heart skipped a beat.
You're awake.
Barely,
Nia laughed lightly.
I was dreaming. And then I suddenly heard voices and awoke to see everyone sitting around.
The ashen-haired mage sat up slowly, and Aaron immediately gave her a huge hug.
Nia, I'm so glad you're all right,
the mimic said with a sniffle.
Thank you, Aaron.
Nia smiled as she hugged the mimic back tightly. The rest of my women got up, crowded around Nia, and offered her similar responses. And Nia embraced them all before she gave me a loving expression.
Hi, Griff,
she mouthed, and I grinned back at her. Good to see you, darling, I murmured. Nia then turned her attention to her father and Sleet.
Hello, father,
she greeted Galahar.
I'm sorry to have worried you.
Don't apologize, my daughter,
Galahar insisted, his blue eyes full of tears.
I am so incredibly proud of you, and so grateful that you are here with us. I prayed to the Maker every night for your health, and I am thankful he listened.
I love you, Father,
Nia murmured, and now her own eyes were spilling over.
I love you too, my Nia,
he replied. Then the Grand Mage rose from his seat to go to her, and the other women parted so the father and daughter could have a moment. Layla, Syra, Freya, and Aaron returned to my bed so Nia and her father could have room. And once they did, Nia's eyebrows crinkled.
Where are Ashla and Arwen?
She wondered as she looked around the room. I froze. How had I not noticed our group was missing too? I blamed it on the disorientation and looked to Sleet for an answer, but the Storm Mage just offered a thin-lipped smile.
The researchers left a few nights ago on another mission, I'm afraid, he answered Nia. I hate to be vague, but their location must remain a secret for now, for both their safety and ours.
Oh, I exhaled, and my stomach filled with dread as I once again had to imagine Arwen and Ashla in another tense scenario.
They're perfectly fine, Sleet assured me in a calm tone. I promise you, Griff, I wouldn't put them into a precarious position if I thought they couldn't handle it.
I took a deep breath and then reluctantly nodded. I trust your judgment, Headmaster. Just then, Meriden brought a glass vial over to Nia and gave her the same instruction she'd given me.
Don't follow Mr. Griff's example, the healer laughed. Don't smell the potion, just drink.
Nia smirked at me and elegantly downed the contents of the bottle. She made a face as the liquid went down, but she handled it far more gracefully than I did. Then we sat in silence for a moment and allowed Nia to gather herself. And once she did, the elementalist brought up a piece of information I'd forgotten to include in my retelling.
While we were speaking with the villagers after the attack, a woman remarked that those monsters we'd fought hadn't been the first in the area,
Nia mentioned, and her blue eyes were troubled as she continued.
She said there had been others reported in the region, though not all attacked.
That's concerning, Galahar frowned. Aside from Adorna, I haven't heard any of these reports.
She also said they appeared to be traveling somewhere. I snapped my fingers as I remembered. A couple of monsters stopped through other villages and destroyed them like Adorna, but all of the others just moved on by. She said it was peculiar behavior.
That assessment would be correct, Sleet agreed, and the Storm Mage furrowed his brow. Two giant monsters appearing is never a good sign, but multiple? That's a whole other matter we shall need to look into. We need to try to track them, discover where they're gathering and why. The safety of Mistral depends on it. Wouldn't you agree, Grand Mage Kennefic?
I do.
Galahar nodded, and he squeezed Nia's hand.
I don't wish to send you all back into the battlefield, but it's essential we handle those monsters before they attack anywhere else.
This is what we signed up for, I declared as I lifted my chin. I want to help in any way I can.
We must send a team of mages to track these mega monsters. Sleet decided, and the Storm Mage nodded to himself as he considered this plan.
I'll go, I volunteered without hesitation.
I hoped you would say that.
Headmaster Sleet smiled at me.
Your expertise in the field and your first-hand experience with these creatures will be most valuable, Sir Griff. I'm making you the squad leader on this mission.
Thank you, Headmaster, I nodded. I won't let you down.
You have yet to disappoint me, Mr. Griff, the Storm Mage assured me. I trust your judgment completely, which is why I am tasking you with choosing the rest of your team. I need you to select five other mages to accompany you back to Adorna.